Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
That music can only mean one thing. Time to run things with Donovan Bailey. I get the pleasure of sitting beside the man who is just a good friend. I don't care of all the accolades and titles that he has got. He is my brethren. Wagwan.
Wagwan, brethren.
I'm here. Jason Portwondo, Donovan Bailey. It's time once again to run things. The weekly podcast that is available right around the world. And this week, I was trying to figure out, you know, we were discussing the show. Where should we begin? The World Cup is hot, remains hot, so right. Let's do it.
Hakimi gets it done! Oh, what a moment for Morocco! Achraf Hakimi! Morocco into the quarterfinals for the first time ever!
History. History, history at the World Cup. It's like the gift that just keeps on giving. Fantastic finishes, upsets. We have had it all in Qatar, however you want to, you know, decipher it. That's up to you. Morocco beating Spain. Penalties. So Morocco's the only team outside Europe or South America to make it into the Elite Eight. On a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give me, DB, in terms of surprise?
You know what? I am not surprised.
So what number would you give me?
I'm 8.
So 8 is not surprised. Okay.
Right. Eight not surprised. No. 8.
I'm expecting like a 2 or something.
No,
8.
No, listen. I think I think that people, again, you know, we've discussed in several weeks about the World Cup and about team preparation and also about, teams and players getting together and understanding what the opportunity is and taking advantage of it. Morocco is one of those countries that have been extremely disciplined. So I'll tell you just my quick association with Morocco.
No, wait, we got time.
With Morocco.
Okay.
There's a good friend of mine, a guy named Hichan El Garouch.
Okay.
Who is probably the greatest 1,500-meter runner in the world. And I'm saying to you that please Google it.
Okay.
Can
I do that like right now or after the show?
Man, be quiet.
Okay.
I'm saying to you that they're a country that when they understand exactly what their job is and understanding exactly what, you know, what the opportunity is that they can take advantage of, that they will prepare themselves. So the Moroccan team, you know, have been extremely disciplined. Forget about where they're ranked. You know, this also is in Qatar, which is, you know, we'll say close to the region, you know, not very close, but close to the region. And so so Morocco is not at all surprising to me. I mean, I know that El Garouch is watching. My man, congratulations to you and your boys and to your country. You know, continued success. I know that, you know, it definitely not surprising to me. And Morocco, I mean, the next game for them is going to be tough. But, you know, again, I think that they have upset on their mind. And I don't think that they think it's going to be an upset. I think that they think that they're going to win.
Morocco, same group as Canada,
mm-hmm.
same group as Belgium,
right?
Same group as Croatia. Not many pegged Morocco to win that group, do what they did versus Spain, And now a chance to, who knows? I mean, it's football. The ball is round. Anything is possible. We're going to talk more about, you know, the four matches that will take us to the semis in a bit. But how is this for irony? You heard about Hakimi, who sealed it for them in kicks.
Right.
Where was he born? Madrid. Previously playing for Real Madrid. I mean, seriously? Some great stories. Even the goalie, Yacine Bounou.
Right.
Born in Quebec. Montreal. He's Canadian.
Well, that's what this is about. I mean, when you talk
love the World Cup for that.
Yeah, but when you talk about the World Cup or the Olympic Games, I mean, when so these are the two biggest sporting events on the planet, right? Every couple of years, every few years, right? And that's exactly what happens when you look at the big world, and then you look at people representing their nation, their adopted nation, or their background or their culture, you know, you can see this in the World Cup. I mean, like, think about all the incredible people that you just mentioned that are representing countries that, well, that's not where they're born. That's not where their home country is. But this amazing, man. I love this.
Sarabia, stop. Soler, stop. Busquets, stop. I will say this, that Montreal goalie, at least Montreal born anyways, was unbelievable. Right. So Morocco becomes just the fourth African nation to reach the quarterfinals at the biggest soccer tournament. And just peep this for a second. Africa has more players on teams at the World Cup than any other nation. I think I've seen at least one African on every team.
Well, Africa, remember that Africa is a continent. So let's go there.
Yeah.
All right. And yes, it shows that continent is producing the greatest players, because I think that the actual story should be is which team does not have an African. You know what I mean? Maybe
Poland,
Croatia.
Maybe.
And Poland. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But I'm saying to you that continent's producing some incredible, incredible athletes. And again, that's what the World Cup's all about. We know that in the diaspora, there's opportunities, economic opportunities for families to move and make money for their families, make a name for themselves in other places. And certainly there are people traveling all over the world thinking of are doing other careers. We know that people moving from the Caribbean or from Africa or wherever they go to countries in Europe or in North America to settle, and their kids will then grow up to play sports or to represent their adopted country. So yeah, this is amazing.
Okay, I'm going to get your predictions as I mentioned in a bit, but we're speaking of football, we're speaking of Africa.
Right.
Nice little transition. Canada also with some Africans on the team.
Of course.
Right? I mean, their best player, right? Alphonso Davies, where was he born? Ghana. Right. Ghanaian descent, right? So recently, Chris Jones had an article talking about Alphonso Davies, and he posed the question as to whether or not he is a potential quote-unquote problem for Canada's men's World Cup team in terms of his appearances, being reticent, not being there when he's supposed to be for his teammates off the field and blah, 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 blah. And it got the ire, the irk of many in this country and potentially deservedly so, and you're one of them.
I understand this because, I've been a victim of this myself. I think that when I read the Chris Jones article, I just don't like some of the underlying racist tones that I see. I believe that Alphonso if Alphonso is going to be criticized for his play on the field, his leadership on the field, his lack of production on the field, his inability to get along with his teammates, anything that has to do with him.
So constructive criticism, basically.
Well, I'm saying to you, anything that has to do with him playing the game.
Right.
Yes. I think that if I don't like, I do not like when, obviously, this is looking through my lens, because Chris is a great journalist. He's a really good writer. I mean, and obviously he knows that he's bigger than this. And I don't think that, you know, Alphonse, some of the things that said that he should be criticized for.
But does he have a point? Because in his article, it says, you know, after the opening match loss to Belgium, he missed the penalty kick, blah, blah, blah. We know
right,
about that.
Right,
that's, you know,
right.
Whatever. He said that Davies wasn't at the news conference and he just powered through the mix zone, ignoring requests for comment.
Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. I can't really make a comment on why he did that.
Right.
Personally, if I was John Herdman, I would have said to Davies, you have to, one, if you're a leader on the team and you're the star on the team, then you have to address the media because that's what they want. I'm just talking about that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. I had to do that for the Canadian team myself, whether or not I want to speak to the media or not. That's so leading is very important. Again, that's something I think that between John and Alphonso and the team that they should have probably addressed before. You know, so again, if you're gonna do anything that has to do with the team, anything that has to do with your play, anything that has to do with the World Cup, anything that has to do with representing Canada, then you have to own all that.
Right. So I agree with Chris on that point.
Right.
Been in broadcasting for years. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, there's no written type of, you know, format or any written rule, I guess I should say is a better word.
Right.
That says athletes have to appear. At the end of the day, it's up to them. Right. As to whether or not they want to. But I do agree with Chris with that point. You know what? That's life, right? You win, you lose. That's sports, right? You're not going to win them all.
Right.
Anyways, but where we go on to where I have the issue is when he says, oh, it's his responsibility, having benefited from a federally funded program in Canada to help promote the sport, especially at a time when so many eyes are on it. When you're wearing a Canadian soccer shirt, you're no longer a private enterprise.
Right.
You're part of a public trust.
Right.
This is where I think now goes down a different road.
Well, this is what I'm saying to you. That's how I start. I mean, first of all, I mean, reading the entire article, that's the one that sticks out to me first, because that's what I'm saying to you. Although, you know, it's a voluntary thing to represent your country, you cannot write something or propose this ownership thing, because there's 400 years of that, and that is a problem. So again, like I've said to you, Jason, before, if you have someone and they're representing your country and they're not doing a good job leading or producing or attitudes or whatever it is, then you can criticize them. You know, again, some of those undertones to me is quite negative, because I've had to live that. I've had to go through that, where they are. One, it wasn't even just this. I was producing, I was winning, I was breaking world records. I was a number one guy in the history of the world, and no other person in this country has even been close since then, right? And I was getting tons of negative press because people didn't like the way that I carried myself, or maybe that I addressed them, or I addressed certain things, because that was me managing my own brand and me and my team, certainly. And for that, you know, I was blackballed for many things. I do not want to see something like that happening to this generation. I think that Alphonso Davies, like Andre, all the young athletes that are representing this country right now are deserving to be praised for their victories and certainly criticized for the things on the field. Now, you know, a few things. You know, 2026, we're hosting the show, right? I mean, and
we are?
We are
like you,
me and you, me oh, and me and you? Your me and your
the
hosting
World Cup comes your, to Donovan Bailey running things.
Me and you're hosting the show, but in 2026, so 2026. So let me break it down.
Okay.
The first game that we watched in Canada, I think we spoke about it last show. The first game that we watched, I think that the team was prepared to beat Belgium. Okay? That didn't happen. So be it. That's how sport goes. The second game, I think that they felt it. They tasted it, right? But Croatia is just a monumental country and team, and clearly was a better team than Canada. Now, I think the third game we expected to win. And I think that a lot of people, including myself, because I believe that you, at this level, when you're representing your country, a participation ribbon is not okay. I think that every kid in sport should play sports and participate in sports. But when you graduate to this level, at this standard, you have to show up, you have to get out and go out there and show up and show out and get ready, you know, to essentially lay your sporting lives, we'll say, on the field of play, especially when you're representing. Now, this is what we've learned from this World Cup for Canada. I believe because we're hosting the show the next time, we're hosting it. We're gonna get in no matter what, right? So, a participation ribbon is not accepted. So, I think I told you last time, Jason, that I believe that Canada won. I still think that we won, although we didn't win a game, because the infrastructure is now set. The leadership is there. The players, most of them under 25 years old, are there. Them hosting show, I have to understand that the expectations of them is no different than the Argentinian fans are of their team. The Croatian fans are of their team. The English fans are of their team. The Brazilian fans of their team. So hosting the show in 2026, Canada must understand that a participation ribbon now is not okay. But I was not. But in order for us to continue to move towards that, we have to be supportive of these kids, and we have to make sure that they understand that we're supportive of them, and we're going to allow them, to be as successful as possible.
First of all, thanks for crushing all of my collegiate accolades. I'm going straight home after this show and burning all them damn ribbons. I appreciate you saying to me, you tried, but you suck. Anyways, let's move on. Secondly, in terms of what you're talking about, first of all, I think the word expectation, it was just too high for this nation. First time there in 36 years. Right. You draw a group of Belgium, second ranked in the world. Croatia made it to the finals last time they played the World Cup. Right. Morocco, a team on the rise. Right. All starting 11 for Morocco play in Division I football scenarios.
Right.
So I just think Canada just had expectations way too lofty. You're right, 2026 will be a different story. Canada not inside the final eight. These teams are, just give me your one-word answers. Croatia, Brazil.
Brazil.
Dutch, Argentina.
Argentina.
Morocco, Portugal.
You know what? That's a tough
one. That's not a one-word answer.
That's a tough one, bro. Okay, so I'm going to go with the underdog, which is Morocco.
Okay. Ooh. England, France. Oh, these are tasty.
Hey, man. Okay,
that's two words. Hey, man.
You know what? Okay. I'm going to do, jeez.
That's three words.
Yeah.
That's tough, though.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I will say England just because.
That sounded like Fringland. You give me the mix of the two.
That's Fringland. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's, you know what? I can't wait. Next time we speak.
And what's yours?
We'll be inside the final four. Fine. I will go Brazil.
Uh-huh.
I will go Dutch.
Uh-huh.
Portugal and France.
Of course you are.
So I give you my answer.
That's good.
Damn ribbon. Let's move on. Deion Sanders. Let's talk a little football. This is huge news. Deion Sanders, the last three seasons, has been coaching Jackson State. The Tigers, 27-5 overall. Perfect 12-0 this season. And that's pretty impressive. Enough for Colorado to say, yo, Deion, come over here and be the boss of the Buffaloes. Huge news for primetime.
Yeah, listen, I think that's amazing news, man. I think that Deion Sanders is a larger-than-life sports icon. You know, a guy that played baseball,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that played football, and a guy that was an all-star in both.
Yes.
I think that after he retired, certainly he could do anything. I mean, Deion in the booth was very good. Well, first of all, Deion as an athlete.
As anything.
Was prime time. And the fact that he in his larger than life self went to a historically black university, built an incredible program where he didn't really just think of football. It really wasn't about sports for him, because I think a lot of people need to read a lot and see like his interviews and see all the things that he was doing, where he created a culture not of just winning on the field, but of success. There's absolutely no kid that has gone through that program or that will go through that program, based upon what I see in my personal opinion, that's not going to be a successful person in life. They might not make the NFL, but they will be successful in whatever it is that they do. Dion built an incredible culture, at Jackson State. And that is value. I mean, we talk about creating opportunities for people of color. I mean, Dion is not just a person of color. I mean, and these are the things that you and I talk about, Jason. I don't expect people to be hired because of what they look like. I expect people to be hired based solely upon their resume. What they look like then can become a great asset, or where they come from culturally can be a great asset. But what your qualifications are really should be number one. And Deion Sanders has done an incredible job creating, a phenomenal football culture at Jackson State that will never, ever be forgotten. It's something that another coach, another younger coach, maybe another NFL or baseball coach can come in. I mean, he's essentially, set the template now for anybody, even myself, to kind of go into, an academic system or institution and create a culture of winning out of the classroom. And so I love what he's done, deservingly so. I think him leaving Jackson State to go to Colorado is a phenomenal accomplishment. Congratulations, Deion. The weather is a little different.
So you know what? That segues nicely into what I want to say, because I think of Deion Sanders,
right?
You think of, Cincinnati offered him a job apparently. I think it was South Florida as well. But Deion Sanders in Colorado just don't roll off the tongue.
Well, I mean,
Pac-12. That's not Deion.
I'm cringing at the weather. I mean, I like the idea. I mean, I actually haven't even checked to see what the facilities are like in Colorado, but I'm assuming that it's an open air stadium and it's going to be cold, right? I'm just assuming, or maybe I'm assuming that Deion's going to take spring ball training and he's going to be in Florida, with the team in preparation for the upcoming season. But like you, Jason, I don't understand the shift in weather. I mean, I've spoken to several people about whether or not I would ever coach someone, and I'm still always in talks with people that feel like I should coach some sort of speed and power with some of
those. I've always said that.
Some of the, whatever guys.
I do think you'd be a great athletics coach.
I would be a great coach, but I would be a much better coach, Mr. Portwando, in a warm climate place.
I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'm going to say it a million more times. The only problem with you being a coach is the fact that you're out running, your students. and you know what? That's just not fair.
Nah.
When the teacher's faster than the student, that's just not right.
We would get them faster than me. That would be the idea of having me.
What I do understand, by the way, with Deion Sanders, with incentives, with other things that could, sweeten the deal, the pot annually, upwards of $7 million. A year.
That is awesome.
That's what annually means, by the way. Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, but I'm saying to you that, either way, he's worth more than that. I mean, Deion Sanders, I mean, if you think of what Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, when you think about all the big universities and what they're paying their Texas, what they're paying their coaches, Deion Sanders is worth more than that. Because here's what happens. You and I, we have this podcast here, and you and I will never have a conversation about, Nick Saban's salary. We would never. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just because it's so normal or standard for him to make $9, $10, $11, $12 million a year as a coach. I'm saying to you that the standard that Deion Sanders is setting right now, it is news. And again, what the coach is doing at Colorado by Deion accepting the job at Colorado means that the stadium, whether it was sold out or not for next season, it will be sold out the next, like today. You know, once it's announced that he's the coach, right away, he's putting butts in the seats. There's massive expectations. Speaking of expectations, there's massive expectation, from the Colorado Buffalo fans. And they have, they know now that Deion Sanders, his job is to bring the exact same culture that he had at Jackson State to their university, where he's going to prepare these men to be the very best that they could be, whether it's an undefeated season or not, and they're going to go to, you know, conference championships and bowls. But they know that Deion's bringing news and credibility to their program. Because Jason, I'm very certain that we don't know. I'm gonna ask you this question. I know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who the last coach was in Buffalo, do you?
Colorado?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I just know Colorado, because I just read his name. But you're right, Buffalo, they are the Buffaloes. I get where you're going.
No, but I'm saying to you that there's incredible credibility that is brought by Deion Sanders taking the job in Buffalo and at the Colorado Buffalo, Colorado.
I know what you're saying. You know what I love about
the Buffaloes?
Deion, yeah. Very religious. Right. And one of the first things he said in his press conference was, God brought me here to help fix the problems.
Very good.
With the Colorado Buffalo football program. So
having a man of faith can never go wrong.
Yeah, never go wrong.
But having a man of faith this is a baseline in which he's going to create an environment and a team from. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's certainly going to allow the team, the cohesion of the team, to be fantastic from day one.
Double-edged sword here, and we're going to wrap things up in terms of this conversation, this topic, this way. Will he get to the NFL sidelines? And if so, how many years do you think?
You know what? I don't think he cares. I've met Deion a couple of times, but I don't think he cares. I think that the legacy that he has right now from Jackson State is phenomenal. If he can create that exact same legacy at Colorado, then what happens is he does become one of those $10, $12 million college coaches. And then, of course, inevitably, then the NFL is going to come calling. I mean, I'm very certain that they can give him a job right now. But I like the fact that Deion likes to create his own environment and his own culture. And he can now in the NFL, it'd probably be very difficult to do right now. But he certainly can do that in college.
And he will coach Jackson State to their bowl game before leaving. Carl Durrell, by the way, is the previous head coach, I do believe the name is so.
Right, but I'm just saying to you, I don't know how many people Carl Durrell brought to this thing.
Exactly.
I don't know how many season ticket holders he brought extra. That's all I'm saying.
Those are the intangibles you get with Deion Sanders. You're listening to another edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. He is, of course, Donovan Bailey. I am Jason Portwando. We always ask that you please like, share, subscribe, follow, download. Be a part of this podcast. We're going to talk a little bit more money before we go inside that anchor leg. Aaron Judge, we knew he was going to get paid.
Right.
But we're kind of surprised by perhaps what team he's getting paid with. The man who did this.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
So 62 was the number back in the day, but the number that everybody's talking about today, $360 million. I'm surprised, not by the money. I knew he was going to get paid. $40 million a year, so 9 years, did the math for you. But I'm kind of surprised he stayed with the Yankees.
You know, I'm not.
You're not? Okay.
I'm not. I, you know what? I, you know, when when you have an athlete that bet on themselves,
mm-hmm.
Then they get to dictate. Then they get to dictate that. They get to dictate where they go, what they do. And, you know, I think that in free agency, obviously saw what was out there. Going out to California, you know, checking in with two teams,
mm-hmm.
Getting into some sort of bidding war. You know, funny enough, Jason, I actually thought he was going to sign for more money. I thought he was going to be the highest.
Really?
I thought he was going to be the highest paid position player. I thought it was going to be more. But not that I'm getting any of this or I have any reason to complain. I'm very happy.
There's somebody making more money than that?
Right.
Who?
This Smoltz, I think.
Oh.
Well, no, you can Smoltz check on that.
He's retired.
But I'm saying to you, no, maybe not. No, you can check on that.
Yeah,
you're
I'll
the,
check
you're
on
the
it.
Stats
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying to you that I thought it was going to make more money than that. But either way, kids.
Oh,
out,
I know you're thinking about Trout.
Trout, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, Mike Trout.
I'm saying to you that I'm not surprised that he stayed with the Yankees.
Okay.
One, I'm very certain that he's very comfortable in New York. It's the biggest advertising city home on the planet. The Yankees are probably, you know, the most, one of the most storied, you know, franchises on the planet. Very certain that his family is comfortable him being there. He rolled the dice. They accommodated him for him to allow him to do all the things that he did on the field last year. There wasn't any apparent tension. I was not surprised at all. I mean, obviously using the two other teams that were courting him, you know, to up his money is a fantastic business move.
Yeah. So the only deals in terms of total value that are more than what he signed, Mike Trout, $426.5 million with the LA Angels, and Mookie Betts of the LA Dodgers. Man, there's a lot of money in LA. $365 million, but both of those deals for 12 years. His is 9 for right. 360. That's right. My type of math, man. I guess the way I looked at it was like this. You know, the Yankees didn't want to pay him.
Right.
They offered him like $213.5 million for 7 years. They did, ultimately.
Right.
But I thought maybe, you know, you talked about it. He went and talked with San Francisco Giants, San Diego Padres. I thought for sure he was going to go, but.
Well, I think Aaron proved also that, I mean, and I say this to athletes all the time,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I also say it a lot to administrators. I always say that the athlete is a commodity. I know that when I walk in the room, that I am the commodity. So when I speak to athletes of how they should manage themselves, bet on yourself, put the work in, get it done. When you walk back in the room, those very same executives will see you differently. They'll respect you differently, and they will also write a different check.
Mm.
And he's proven that.
Not often you make a bet in like early spring and then you cash it basically in winter. That doesn't happen. That's a long time to go official.
It's not bad. Pun.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I know we're still 2 weeks outside the official summer solstice, but Aaron Judge getting paid. That decision is in. You know what time it is. Oh, yeah. Let's run that anchor leg.
A cleaning save to Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
The time where we blitz you with five topics. Sometimes a little bit more, but we're going with just five this time.
I can't wait.
The match is coming up. I can't wait as well. 3 days away. Man. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas taking on Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. Are you ready?
I am ready. I've been ready.
Who are you going with?
Well, you know who I'm going to go with, man. I mean, Tiger.
Come on.
Tiger's my boy. So, I mean, you know.
You're going with the old guys.
I'm going with the old. Listen.
Are you going to watch?
I'm an old. Oh, come on, Jason. What is that?
Must see TV.
What is that, man? Of course, you know, for one, I'm going to be here in Canada. So I can't physically go and play golf. So if I'm not going to be able to physically go and play, I'm certainly going to watch. And my money is on the old guys.
Speaking of money, there is a team in the National Football League that is on fire. And you know what? I got to give you some love for your Las Vegas Raiders.
Because give me that love, baby.
You know what? Those losses by such little margins, I know they're still on the outside looking in, man, oh man, can they still get in the playoffs?
Yes.
Can this still happen?
Yes. Yes. You know, the problem is that we've been looking through the window, and that is not good for us in Raider Nation. And the door is quickly
I like that.
Cracking
the
open.
The door has gone from a door to a window.
No, no, we're out. No, we're outside.
You play the Rams coming up on Thursday Night Football.
Yes.
Very winnable game, as we know Matthew Stafford out with those concussion issues, right?
Well, I'm not.
They just got Baker Mayfield.
I don't. Oh, Baker's there?
Okay, the Rams now, yeah.
No, we're going to win the game if Baker plays. It's not. Yeah. That's not a big deal.
So just quickly, going to the AFC West, mm-hmm. You're out of last. You're 5-7. You're still four games behind the Chiefs. But I think you guys should be concentrating more on a wild card spot and not the division lead. You're not going to catch Kansas City.
But I'm saying to you that we messed up a couple of games. Like I said, we had three games that was one score losses.
Mm-hmm.
We should not have had that.
Okay.
But no one's going to cry over spilt milk. I mean, ultimately, I don't think that the coach is trying to save the season. I think that we're up and we're going to try and win every single game before the end of the season. And that is what I want to see, and that is what I hope for, and that is what I believe will happen.
Breaking news from the racetrack. You know I'm a big fan of horse racing.
Yes. You're a racetrack.
For many, 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 many years, it's been known as the Queen's Plate. As of 2023, obviously, with Her Majesty passing, it is now going to be known as the King's Plate. Is that the right thing to do, or should we have just kept it the way it was, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? That's a political answer. That's a political question. Mm-hmm.
So that means there's no wrong or right answer.
There's no wrong or right answer. Right, okay. You know what? I think that the Queen's Plate clearly was. I mean, if this is representative of the monarchy mm-hmm. that govern Canada, yep. then the Queen has passed away. So now it's King Charles Plate.
King Charles Plate. Yeah, yes. I like that's what they should have done. They should have added in the name.
No.
No?
No. No. All come right. on.
Last stop is Indonesia, where tourism may take a bit of a hit. Recently, Indonesian law passing, banning sex outside marriage. Is that okay with you?
Jeez.
Easy now. Wifey listens to this podcast.
That is crazy.
Can you believe that?
So Indonesia, well, here's
no
the thing.
No sex outside of marriage.
So that's the law.
That is the law.
Well, I'm very certain that all of those people in Indonesia is going to follow that law. Hint, hint. Come on. That's not going to happen.
I don't know how you govern that, but that...
Or not. Here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Here's what's going to happen. I mean, is there a law in Indonesia based upon how many times you'll be married or you can get married? Because technically, you can just have one of those... You know those Elvis... 30-second drive-through marriage places.
Right.
Yeah, maybe you can have that. So, Jason, you know what? Maybe the tourism board is thinking, hey, how can we generate some more revenue by having all our citizens and foreigners getting married quickly? You know, maybe that's what they're thinking. Maybe they're thinking a different revenue stream. So what will happen is, outside every nightclub or bar or hotel or the airport, there will be a little booth with a little man there or person that will get you married in 3 seconds.
Wow. All I know is I think of Bali and I think of the tropics and the beautiful weather and, you know, people go there to have beers and all night beach parties and
this fun. This is fun you're talking about.
Now you're saying you can't do it. And wow, this is going to be interesting. I wonder if when it hits tourism as hard as it potentially will, if they're going to rethink that. Anyways, we're gonna have to.
I'm telling you, in conclusion, I'm telling you, I believe that the tourism people, this is a genius idea. They're
okay,
going to have.
You think this is okay?
That people are going. They're going to charge $25 per wedding, and the wedding will be 10 seconds.
Dua Lipa or Doja Cat?
Oh, man. Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa. Yeah. Okay, I'll take the cat.
You'll take the cat?
I'll take the cat. Take the cat. Chris Rock? Eddie Murphy?
Ah, man, Eddie.
Isn't that kind of like LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
That's a definitive answer for me.
Okay, because it's kind of different eras a little bit,
right? No, but there's no, and also there's no, for me, that's not a competition. Okay. Eddie Murphy was the greatest then. Like when I think about, like Chris Rock was between Eddie and Chappelle now.
Right.
So I'm just saying to you that for me, the it's a great of, there's three people that would be greatest of all time for me. Today is Chappelle. It would have been, so Chris would have been before him, and then Eddie would have been there. You know, again, for Jordan, Jordan is my guy. I believe that Jordan is the best basketball player still, but because I grew up in that generation, LeBron is absolutely phenomenal. But again, you know what I see, and because I've played the game, what I see LeBron doing is phenomenal. But Michael Jordan is just, you know, Black Jesus.
Enough said. As per usual, we thank you for the company for each and every edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. As per usual, you know the drill. Find us, hook us up, however you need to do it. Just check out the podcast providers. We are everywhere across this beautiful world of ours. Like, share, follow, subscribe, download. DB, take us out.
Until next week, stay safe and have a great week. And we'll see you next week.